Now tonight we're just going to go ahead and start, instead of having a long drawn out thing tonight, since it's cold outside, and I don't know how in the world we'll ever get into this last part, I tell you. Last night I was just getting anointed to get into it, and this last part of it, you have to get anointed, I do, to even be able to get into it. And by the time I get anointed, well, y'all done just about got unanointed or something. About time I get ready to preach, y'all done got ready to go home, so I don't know what to do about it. It's just like a bunch of scrambled eggs in my mind until the anointing of the Lord comes and gives it a continuity. So I don't even hardly know where to start. Let's pick up a little bit of review tonight on the trip across the United States. Now then, if you remember last night, we started here over in New York. We went across the United States, and then we got over in California, and we started a journey back. And then when we started back, we showed you how that he'd come across the first California hurdle there with Brother Branham. And then when it got over the Rockies, which was a symbol of the Red Sea, Indians or Red Waters, then the people got into a wilderness. Brother Branham died and left them. They didn't know where they was going. And even Brother Billy Paul, I went out to Tucson, Arizona and talked with him. And Billy told me, he said, Dad didn't tell me nothing. And then Lee Vail picked it up. It went into the Vail here. Lee is a great genius, an intellectual scholar. And it had to pass through the Vail. And it went into that Vail, into that state of dreaming. When you say Vail, well, that's going down into, you know, down into the chambers of hell and into the grave and these kind of things. That means out of sight. I think the hippies use that term, out of sight. Well, that's out of sight. You notice right here now, between the Rockies and the Mississippi River is the wilderness part of it. And we spoke the other night how Brother Ernie went out there and how he kind of retrieved that which was lost and brought it back across the Mississippi. And then we said the last part of this would be the move on this side of the Mississippi. I don't know whether you remember that last night or not, but I emphasize it would be here in this last dimension, which would be on this side of Mississippi. And then before I went to explain any more of this in the third dimension, I thought we'd pick up here. Now, when I say third dimension, really the third power, because we're in the third dimension, which is the Protestant dimension, and we're dealing with the third power. It runs 1, 2, 3, and now we're going backwards and we're coming 3, 2, 1. So we're dealing into three powers. And I said it run 1, 2, 3, third power, and he started backing up 3, 2, 1. And now we're back over here to the first power in the third dimension, which is the Protestant dimension. And it is to be the last thing that we're going to have over here. And already it's beginning to spring up. Now the thought is to be able to show how it got back over here. And of course that's going to take God. But anyway, we know that Brother Branham picked it up here, and then Billy Paul got it over here. And then the Lord sent us over here to Mississippi, right here at Olive Branch, Mississippi. The Bible said the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful in that day. And he sent us to Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is just this side of the Mississippi River. Now, I mentioned the other night how the earthquake come down the Mississippi River. It kind of took we spoke about the earthquake coming. It kind of hit, I don't know, maybe up here along the gateway of the west and kind of ripped the veil. And it went one way to Chicago, which is a great terminal center there, where trains come in and out. And, of course, how many of you know that trains are a symbol of death? You hear a train coming through and it shakes the whole earth. That's the way death does when it comes through. And if you'll notice, it's a symbol of death because every time you go to cross over a railroad, they got a cross there. It's a crossing. It's a symbol of death. And how have you noticed how that death is being swallowed up in victory? How have you noticed that? Death being swallowed up in victory instead of the old black steaming smokestack, chug, chug, chug. Now it's becoming a streamlined liner, just sailing and glide along. So you can see the change coming. We made mention here one night about the graves doing the same thing. Used to, you take a man and bury him way back out in the wilderness because it showed the church in the wilderness. So it shows it in Egypt, and you took them, you know, they used to take them out there, and they'd bury them out there, and you go back, and the graves sunk in, the rats running around over them, and the snakes and everything else, and the body's unsealed. Now you come over, and it's not a graveyard anymore. It's called Memorial Gardens. It's beautiful vacation land. Coming into Canaan. All these things change in types. Because the natural mind don't ever notice these things, because the Bible said he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And the natural man, he don't ever consider these things. To him, that's just his daily world of change is all it is. But to us, it's something great, wonderful that's taking place. All right, now, if you notice here, right here at the Mississippi, when that earthquake hit it there at the Gateway of the West, it kind of rent the veil and went up the Mississippi and down the Mississippi and come over here and shook Olive Branch and shook some buildings there in Memphis, Tennessee. And of course this is a symbol of the rending of the veil, because Memphis is in twain. There's a West Memphis, Arkansas, and then there is a Memphis, Tennessee. And of course on some of the teachings in Tate we get a little more intricate with it, and we speak about the midnight train to Memphis, the midnight cry, and then we take the word ten a sea, the ten virgins and so forth, and the midnight cry. A lot of times we go down into it, we break it down in an intricate sort of a way so that you can understand it better. But really, you brethren can go in there and get all of that out. God will give it to you. But the thing is, it does show a rending of the veil. Now, coming back across here, I mentioned the other night how Martin Luther King got killed, how that the Negroes started right here a march from here to the White House. A march from here to the White House. Remember now, the Negro is a symbol of life in the veil. Life in the veil. So it was going from here to the White House. Now, when you speak of the White House, that means white folks. Because Peter referred to us as a house in this tabernacle. And they were headed for the White House. That is, they were looking for the equality with the white. All right, now, coming from California, and it's 1, 2, 3. Now, we spoke of Brother Branham being a symbol of the Lord Jesus. How many of you know that the Lord Jesus followed the same pattern? He followed the same pattern. He got over to the cross in that first 4,000-year dimension, that Moses thing. And he was a prophet like unto Moses. And then he had to die because the flesh couldn't take him any further. And there where Joshua took up, it was a type of the Holy Ghost. Because it was going into Canaan, and Canaan was a type of the Spirit. So then when Jesus, the natural flesh, couldn't take him any further, then there had to be a spiritual revelation, which was the Holy Ghost. Man, follow what I'm saying now? Kind of combining some things here where you can see them. Brother Branham and Jesus, Joshua and Moses, and so forth. So then, Joshua, being a symbol of spirit, he took him into Canaan, and the Holy Ghost, picking up where the flesh of Jesus left off, took him in. The first Jacob Jesus took Leah when he wanted Rachel. The first Jesus took the natural Jew as a natural Jesus when he wanted a spiritual Jew. Is that right? But according to the customs of the land or the laws of nature, you can't take a pecan, that is, the part on the inside, without taking the shell, can you? So God's a spirit, and he was wanting a spiritual bride, but he had to take all this natural veil that had to come up through the intellectual rims of education and all this worldly things like cars and houses and what have you. All right, now. Notice as it comes over here, right here on Sunset Mountain, we spoke up the other night, Brother Branham had the sword in his hand, and the voice said, the sword of the king, pearl handle, a gold shield, and a silver blade. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He had it in his hand, a symbol of the Word. We made a statement that I never heard it interpreted, but this is what I believe about it. The Bible said he'll purge the sons of Levi as silver, which was a silver blade. Purge means to cut off. And the Bible said taking the shield of faith, which is likened unto gold tried in the furnace, which was that shield. And then he said the pearl of great price, which was the Word, right there in the right hand, the power. And I believe that it signified that Brother Branham had become as near perfect in the symbol of the Son of God as man could come in this life and in this age, stumbling and staggering around like we do. So then, I made the statement that Brother Branham was crucified. He was with the Jesus Name people, who was a proud people, and he eventually was crucified by the very ones he went to and tried to help. And I know that we say, well, the Jesus Name people did it, because we say, well, the Jews did it. But did you know the Jews really never crucified Jesus? The Jews said it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Now, the Jesus Name people did not agree with Brother Branham, but they wasn't the ones that did it. But they were responsible, just like the Jews was. Responsible by giving their consent to it. Now, so then, they're going to wake up one day and find out that they crucified the great champion that God sent to them. Now, you might not believe that, but Jesus Name people, they're going to wake up one day. Right now, they resent Brother Branham, but they're going to wake up one day and realize that he was their champion, and they didn't realize it. All right, now, so we see Jesus crucified. Here's Sunset Mountain. We see the symbol of it. The church having been brought through by the pillar of fire and so forth. And we see Jacob. I spoke of it, Jesus getting the first bride, the Jew, which was Jacob, getting Leah down there according to the laws and custom of the land, 7 years for each one of them, which represented a dispensation of time. Jesus coming in the natural for the natural Jew, then coming back, the second Jacob, as the Holy Ghost for the spiritual Jew, which is he's getting now. This is his second labor. Remember, after his second labor, he went back to his father's house. Now, we got that on tape somewhere here, haven't we, Brother Taylor? Yes, but we taught Jacob getting his bride and going back to the father's house. It's somewhere. All right, now then, we find here that this is the last episode of it here where he gets his spiritual bride, and then he goes back to his father's house. And I told you after this, he returned to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is a symbol of his father's house. He goes back. The gospel goes back to the Jews. Well, right here is the rending of the veil. The rending of the veil. Where was it rent? Brother Taylor so beautifully caught this the other night. Where was it rent? In two sons. Not one son, but two sons. Right here. Joseph and Billy Paul. In Tucson, Arizona, the veil. Right here. Now, it wasn't really recognized until over here. See, in other words, he was smitten. Jesus was smitten at Calvary over here. And then he took his trip down into the heart of the earth. Isn't that right? First the grave over here in Egypt. Then down into hell here through the desert and so forth. And then coming up over here into paradise. We're in the age of the paradise part of it here, even in the third power, as well as the third dimension. So then coming through this, we see here the rending of the veil. And I spoke of the dissecting of Brother Branham's body into the three parts. And the other night I placed it in the different stages of power in the third dimension here as we see it. And we spoke of Brother Branham's body being dissected. But here in the last part of it, it's to come back together because it's a 1, 2, 3... A 3, 2, 1 in the third dimension, which is a time. That's the spiritual part of it. With the Jews, it was the same way, but when we take the all over, that is the whole world, coming from the east to the west, it's a 1, 2, 3 bisecting of humanity. The Jews separated from the Catholics, and the Catholics separated from the Protestant mass humanity by the crucifying of Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Those three great parts of all people, that is mass humanity, separated into three parts. to show that the church was dead and that Christ could not move in the church. That is, he could not rapture. There was three stages of the baptism, water, blood, and spirit. And we got that on tape somewhere where we teach the water, the blood, and the spirit. Now notice as I teach it 1, 2, 3 right here, that it is a symbol of the great 1, 2, 3 that's across the world. So you can see this by looking at this. There is a water age, there is a blood age, and there is a spirit age. You follow me? Now, we're over here in Georgia. This is red mud. Adam was called red dirt. And we're speaking about the second man, Adam, over here, the spiritual part coming forth over here. And when you think of red mud, you think of the blood of the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of, revelation. There was some revelation, according to my understanding, taking place this morning in the dark, Brother Taylor, when we was in that ice and snow blizzard out there trying to take care of the stock. I was going to do it by myself, but I decided I better go over and get Brother Taylor to help me. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is there was a dissecting of his body. And we got a number of religions. We got, in the Restoration, we got Luther, we got Wesley, and then we got William Branham here. And Brother Taylor put this up here. But anyway, we got Luther, Wesley, and William Branham. Now, to me, this means Luther come teaching faith. That's all he understood. Well, the Bible said we're justified by faith. Luther got a revelation when the church started being restored back there about 1500, a little later. Justification by faith, right after they'd come through the Dark Age, which is the second dimension. Luther got a revelation, justification by faith. Then Wesley, a little later on, come and got another revelation, which was sanctification. Now, the Bible said we're sanctified by the faith which is in Christ. Then Brother Branham come along a little later, and Brother Branham come along with a message of glorification. Alright? Now, three stages, faith for the sanctification or the justifying of our spirit, sanctification for our soul, and glorification for our body. Be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds, and then be translated in your spirit, and then be transfigured in your body. Now, all of this took place in the Bible. I can point out instances in every concerning every one of these and show you that these took place in the Bible. There was three stages of the great restoration which come over here. Finally headed up about 1900. Got started about 1500 with a fellow by the name of Whitfield back there. Some say Whitefield or Whitfield. Anyway, it got started back there about 1500. And then it come on over to 1900. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. About 400 years. About 400 years. Now you see something in that if you remember what happened to Israel down there. About 400 years, and he come on over to 1900. Then Brother Branham come on the scene to begin to pick this thing up in a few later years. And it would be impossible for me to go into all of that without taking weeks of teaching. It would take weeks of teaching. But if I can just kind of follow a stream to where I can get it in your mind, well, all the other things the Lord can reveal to you. Now then, Brother Branham here, like a crucifixion, his body divided up, and I said that his body went into the full gospel businessmen, which was a symbol of the Jews, and then his soul, which was his wife and children, went into the desert here, and then his ministry, which was the tapes, went into the Carolinas. So it's got 1, 2, 3 different dimensions or powers there. I say powers because the Protestant age is the third dimension of our teaching, the spiritual dimension. What throws people off in this age, and I'd sure like for you to hear this. Now, of course, you've heard it before. But I'd like for you to hear it. what throws people off in this age is that they keep looking for something natural. That's where they miss it. In the spiritual age, God does not work the natural. He works the spiritual. In the first dimension, He worked with the sun and the moon and the stars, opened the Red Sea, opened the earth, caused natural hailstones to come out of heaven, caused the sun to stand still. That was in the natural to the Jews. That was the water witness. God the Father. That's the Old Testament law. Then the second one was when He came to Calvary and He began to work in the second dimension. Now the second dimension was a blood dimension. It was a blood dimension. It picks up over that Noah after the water dimension. It picks up and it comes to Calvary and it's tied. But it really doesn't start till Calvary when you really get the thing right. So then, from there He began to work miracles and signs and wonders by restoring arms and legs and so forth. But now in this third dimension, He's working miracles here in the third dimension by great, great spiritual revival and great spiritual resurrection of the soul and the restoring of spiritual sight and spiritual arms. And as Paul called it, the inner man. He's working with the inner man. With the Jews, He worked with the outer man. Are you following what I'm saying now? He worked with the outer man. Well, you say, what do you mean outer man? He worked with the soul. What man? That was the man made out of the natural elements. And then He worked with the physical man in the second dimension. And now He's working with the angelic man, the inner man, in the third dimension. That's why it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual moving of God. It's a spiritual Holy Ghost Jesus that's moving in the church. It's a spiritual Holy Ghost Jesus that erupts the church. It's a spiritual revelation that the world can't see. And everything is transpiring in the Spirit. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe there's no miracles, no arms restored, no eyes? Yes, I do. But I told you the reason I believe that is because this age is really the second age. See, in the type, it's the third age, and God's doing things in the Spirit. But really, it's the second age, because the third age is the millennium. So then it still has those going on. But majorly speaking, God's operation is in the spiritual. All right, now, He just has enough of the other to let you know He's still alive, that's all, so that you can't doubt it. Now then, we see the great dissecting of the body of the Lord Jesus, and it causes great 1, 2, 3 over the world, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, separated them, and God gave water baptism to the Jews, blood baptism to the Catholics, spiritual baptism to the Protestants. That's why you can't get it in the Protestants' heads that they got to be baptized in water. You can tell them and they'll say, well, it's just like eating ice cream. They'll say, if you like chocolate, you can eat chocolate. If you like vanilla, you can eat vanilla. As a matter of fact, I heard a preacher get up one time and said, now, you people, when it comes to baptism, he said, it's just what you want to do. He said, some folks, it's like eating ice cream. He said, some folks like one dip, some folks like two dips. He said, three dips. He said, you Trinity, one, it's whatever you want to. Another fellow said that, it's like this, if you're Trinity, give $3 in the offering. If you're oneness, just give $1. So, that's the way some people teach. That's all it means to them. But I tell you, they're wrong. They're wrong about it. They're wrong about it. Now then, when the Lord gave these three baptisms, He gave water to the Jews. Because He was dealing with the natural earth, and the natural earth has to have water to survive. The world of vegetation, the lifeline of that vegetation is water. When God got ready for the Jews to suffer, He cut their water off from heaven. Their lands dried up. He warned them it would be parched ground and they were driven out of the land. And they're just now getting the latter rain on it as they return, which is a symbol of our spiritual. They've been in a drought since then. In the second dimension, which is the blood dimension, water is the lifeline of the first. And God baptized the earth with water in Noah's day. Then the second is blood. And God has pretty well baptized the world in blood through war and wrecks and everything that can be imaginable. And then besides that, blood represents fire, and it's going to be a big fire. It's coming. It's going to be a big fire, and it's coming. The earth is going to be baptized with it. The fire and the Holy Ghost. The water, the fire, and the Holy Ghost. And when you say fire, you mean blood. Blood to the soul to burn out the chaff. Water to the body to cleanse it. And then, of course, the Spirit is to the Spirit which is within man to save it. Now, are you following what I'm saying? God gave a baptism to each one of the groups of people. Now, the church was separated, and it'll never be raptured. It'll never be translated, because the Bible said we know in part. And each one of these divisional part of mass humanity has part of what God's doing. The only way we'll ever be raptured is when we get our body, soul, and spirit together. As long as we're separated in body, soul, and spirit, we'll never have the joy and peace we want. Is that right? Look at a symbol of it. Take your home, for instance. Take your wife. Take your children and take yourself. That's 1, 2, 3. That's what it shows. Let them all be divided one against another and see if there's any prosperity. See if there's any blessings. They'll be cursing and drinking and smoking and frolicking and, well, I won't say it. But anyway, that's what I'm talking about. That's the condition of mass humanity, God's house, and the condition of the church. So what I'm saying is this, is that the Lord Jesus started in the second dimension with the blood. That's to apply to the soul. For he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We're separated into three parts. When Satan got into Adam in the garden, he had to run his course. And God divided the body into three parts. So then, before we can ever be raptured, the three parts of the body's got to come back together. And to show when it's back together in its proper order, mass humanity will come together in a confederation of churches. That's how you'll know it. Now, if you know spiritual things, watch. And all three bodies of Jew, Catholic, and Protestants will unite in a confederation of churches. When they do this, it will be positive proof that the body, soul, and spirit has thoroughly been purged with water, blood, and spirit, that all three of the baptisms is restored to the church, and the church is fully ready to be taken out of this world. And I tell you, we're not far from it right now. Now, so then, the great confederation. I made statement that when these nations confederate, they'll come together against this little Jerusalem over here, Naboth's vineyard. They'll come together by the powers of the red dragon, communistic powers of the red dragon, working through this right here, to take over the world. All nations gathering around Jerusalem, then the desolation there comes. God comes through the eastern gate, rises up, begins to fight for Jerusalem, and one little nation wins the whole thing. How many of you ever read in the book of Revelation where the angel came out? The Bible said John, in the spirit, he looked up into heaven and he saw the angel come out having a sickle in his hand. He had a sharp sickle in his hand, and a voice said to him, said, John, said, cast in the sickle. Said, for the grapes of the earth are fully ripe, and they're ready to be harvested, to cast in the sickle. So he did. He cast in the sickle. Then a voice said to him, reap the vineyard, take it, cast it into the winepress of the Almighty God. Is that what the Bible said in the book of Revelation? What is the winepress of the Almighty God? It's the Jews. It's the Jews. They tread the winepress of the fierceness of the Almighty God. Now, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible said that when they gather the vintage, they gather the grapes, then they'll throw them into the Valley of Armageddon. And then when they throw him into the valley of Armageddon, then the Jews begin to trample him. See, the Bible said that the outer courts would lay waste, be trampled under the feet of the Gentiles until the day that the Gentiles' age was over, fulfilled, finished. All right, then the Jews start trampling the Gentiles then, treading the ashes of the wicked under our feet spiritually, and the Jews naturally. So then he said, gather the vine. Now you've heard people say the grapevine. They say that went through the grapevine. Well, that's what he was speaking of. He told him, he said, just gather the vine, get the vine. In other words, you ain't going to leave anything anymore. So he puts the grapes into the wine press of the Almighty God. Now the Bible said God planted a vineyard and he brought forth wild grapes. Throws them into the vineyard of the, or into the wine press rather, the Almighty God, the Battle of Armageddon, over near the Valley of Hinnom. And here they start trampling them under the feet, and the Bible said that the blood comes up to the horse's bridle. When the blood begins to come out of the grape, they always spoke of the grape holding the blood. When the blood comes out of the grape, it comes up to the horse's bridle. So then the angel said, cast in thy sickle, reap the grapes of the vintage, for they are ripe in the harvest, cast them into the winepress of the Almighty God. And the Bible said the winepress was trod where? Without the city, without the gates. Is that right? I sent you of Jerusalem over there, and did you know in the same place where they begin to trod this wine press is the very place in the Old Testament where God warned them. They went in there and they gave their children to the fire, cast them to idols into the fire. And he told them, said, someday, said, you won't call this the valley of such and such, you'll call it the valley of slaughter. He warned them because of what they did. And we got that a little more clear on tape somewhere where we bring it out by name. But anyway, what I'm saying here is, getting back to our original thought here, dissected into three major parts. Alright? Now, speaking of the last dimension being dissected in its symbol, we've got all kind of religions. When you go to get religions, you got all kind of religions. You can start by saying Jew and Catholic and then Protestant. And then when you come over a little further, well, you can pick up one again and you can say, Pentecostals and Jesus names and non-denominationals and somewhere I believe we've got that outlined on tape. In about seven different steps where it gives it just like it is, where it breaks it down. But anyway, it comes down into a 1, 2, 3. Them that majorly occupy, and we say Methodists and Baptists and Pentecostals. So, three major steps and that thing is broken down. And you can see what I'm saying. When Jesus' body was dissected here, then Brother Branham's is the same way. It's the same way. And it's got to come back together over here. It's got to come back together right here. Now, when they made this pilgrimage across this part right here from the Rockies over to the Mississippi River, we was over here on the other side of the Mississippi. And something took place. All right, now let's see if we can get some idea of just what it was. Brother David Turr was involved in this. Up near the Gateway of the West, up in Illinois, Brother David Turr set his tent up. And we related this before, how that this tent was turned inside out. And then Brother Delmer Baldwin's from over here, right here at Olive Branch, Mississippi, let Brother Toro have his tent. So he's showing another move. It come right back to the gateway out the west. And we've got this on tape also somewhere broke down. But it come right back to the gateway out the west, right where it started. When Brother, see, it's almost as it went through the door here, starting, because this is the gateway to the west that way and the gateway to the east this way. So it was almost as it started here at the gateway of the west, done whatever it was to do, went all the way out here, come right back to the gateway of the west. And then when he come back, Brother David Todd's tent went down with a great storm, turned inside out. Then Jack, that worked for him, we went by there about that time because we was going over to Canada to preach under Brother Weldon's tent, which tent also went down there when the whirlwind caught it over there in Upson County. It had to do with the same thing, if you can understand and see what happened. Went by there, and Brother Calvin Baldwin was the one that was pastoring at that night, or preaching at that night. He also was from Olive Branch, Mississippi, where we'd come in there in our early ministry and met him here, which had to do with picking it up. Brother David Tell's tent went down. Brother Calvin Baldwin from Mississippi picked it up. You notice that Calvin and Brother Terrell has been hand in hand for a good while, but all of a sudden Brother Calvin Baldwin's coming back into the area. I made the statement he would. He didn't believe it, but he's doing it. I notice he's reverted back to the church over in Memphis and took it over again. Now then, Brother Terrell come through there and picked it up in Mississippi in a great meeting. He hadn't been preaching Jesus' name till then, even though we had had connection with Brother Terrell down in the valley, and there we was preaching in Assembly of God, and we had a little communication with him about Jesus' name, and he and Bobby, Brother Bobby Woodruff, was baptized, but he didn't preach it for many years. Then we came over here in Mississippi, had a great, outstanding meeting, and he started preaching Jesus' name. Brother Calvin linked arms with him, and they started working together, and that thing ran its cycle, come right back, just exactly like he went. All right, I know a lot of these things is hard to be understood. But anyway, at the gateway of the west, where I spoke of the rending of the veil, the earthquake, the dividing and changing the course of the Mississippi. Remember, it was running one way, and it changed the course of it. All right, now, the gateway to the west, here, this great thing happened. And I predicted that Brother Delmer Baldwin would bring his tent and set it up right there in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and there would be a revival. And I predicted that Brother David Terrell would come there to the revival. Is that right, Betty? All right. Now then, I also predicted Brother Grady Pike would come there. Now, at this time Grady wasn't coming, and Brother Terrell wasn't coming, and Brother Delmer Baldwin was definitely going to set his tent over in Atlanta, Georgia. He done told me. But, happens as it did, coincidental or not, he set it there. He didn't even think he could have a meeting in that place, and he had a wonderful meeting. Brother David Tell come there, and Brother Grady Pike come there. Right there, just like we saw it. Alright, and then the brethren was united in the way that we understood that they would be. I hope you people's feet out there ain't as cold as mine. Up here in the snow, it's cold. You heard it, don't get cold feet on me. Well, I got cold feet on you. But anyway, here we are over here. And that thing made it cycle and it come back. It come back just like it went. All right, now, there's a whole lot to this. From the gateway of the west, it came back. And now we're going to get into some of these particulars in a minute, but if you notice when it come back over here, how many remember about that time so many of our people having white cars? That was really something, wasn't it? All right, you remember Brother Bobby Woodruff. I made a statement that he was disturbed. He was greatly disturbed because it looked like that God had put him over in the Carolinas and just cut him off by himself over there. And nothing wasn't happening. About that time, Brother Bill Pedaris really was having a meeting. And Brother Bobby, he was all disturbed. And I said, Bobby, don't worry. I said, when this thing happens, it'll happen right up here at your place up here in the Carolinas. Well, Bobby couldn't really believe it. But all of a sudden, and I told him, I said, I see, Bobby, I said, the Lord lets me know you're going to be preaching before a multitude. Well, he never had. And sure enough, some of you went up there and saw the multitude who was in the place up there. And Bobby was up there preaching before him. or instructing the people, and it happened just exactly that way, and you can say, well, it's just coincidental, Brother Pike. Well, it might have been. But they said the waters was about 99% pure over here at this place, and it was like a garden. Now, talking about a paradise, similar paradise, it was like a garden, and I've never seen a church made like a cross, but this was made like a cross, and they would not let them use the holies of holies, but made them use a little old bitty balcony-like that come out on the side of the thing, and they had to preach from there. Now, Brother Lee Vail was there. Brother Bobby Woodruff was there. And how many of you remember what I said about me going up there one time in the mountains, the place where three men died after? I checked it a few days back, Brother Zell, when I was up there to make sure I didn't make a mistake. And I asked Bobby, I said, Bobby, how many men was there out there? He said, three. So they found three dead men out there where we was at. I know that could really beautifully be illustrated. But I just want to make a point here. All right, now, Bobby Woodruff, his very name symbolizes the cross. Just like Brother Branham's cross, Brother Woods. Brother Woods. Brother, over here to Camp Brown, Brother Walden's cross, Brother Lynn Wood. Matters. All right, now, Brother Bobby Woodruff. And upon this cross, a fellow by the name of Lee Vail, because this was Bobby that set this up, and another fellow by the name of Palmer. Now, this is no discrediting to Bobby, no discrediting to Lee, no discrediting to Brother Jack Palmer. But it had to be just like the Lord said. God said, I will restore. All right, now. Here they are coming together in this great meeting. That was the three great men of this meeting. Right here, Bobby Wells came up there. And Bobby Wells was the one that had to do with the rending of the veil. And there was a new well open. Well, we've got some of that highlighted on another tape. But anyway, we made a statement that after that we would meet Bobby, which we did. We met him down in Warner Robins. It has to do with the rapture there at that big air base. Also, Brother Lamar Couch coming up here. It has to do with his coming up here. Also, had to do with him going over there when Ricky was made, or my George Jr. was made honorary general by the Red Cross. And on his birthday, Lamar went up, and strangely enough, he come up this time about Rick's birthday. And also had to do with them paratrooper boots that I gave him. The uniform I brought back from up there, and had to do with him going from there by Brother Branham's place over there and that meeting that they had. And a lot of these things that we brought out on other tapes or in conversations, different places. But anyway, about that time we went up to Brother, was the brother worked with Brother Branham? He mentions his name, Parnell. Brother Parnell, and there was a lot that was connected with it in Revelation concerning Brother Parnell. There's also a big snow just like this one. You know, I was thinking Brother Parnell probably show up pretty soon. But anyway, these things all fit together with the meeting up there in Carolina. We stayed up at the Rainbow Inn when we went up there. We made our broadcast that went on XCRF from right there at the Rainbow Inn. Now then, what I want to do is drop over here just for a few minutes. We can go into a lot of things there, but that's bringing it over so that you'll have kind of a continuity. All the white cars went up from Memphis, and Brother David Allen's wife made a statement that it sounded like an exodus to her. All of them went up there to this place in Carolina and came back. All right. Now then, I want you to notice here, we later, after we left here, Warner Robins, I had to bring out some things to get to what I want to say here. After we left from here, we came back to Memphis. We said that we'd meet Bobby Wells, and And strangely enough, we met him. Went down there and tried to rent a Palmer Tire Company building and couldn't get it in Centerville. When the Lord told us to move and went back over here to Bobby Wells. Now, I don't know whether you see that or not, but Palmer had gone out of business. That's right. And also, at this time, Brother Jack had moved his place out of Macon, out of Warner Robins. I felt like he would, and he did. And we had to park our truck on Brother Bobby Wells' property. Now, you can call it coincidental or whatever you want to, but anyway, that's what we did. We met him just like the Lord showed, and then we spoke of a work being there concerning Brother Charlie. And Brother Charlie is there now with the church, carrying on a work, and he had to do with the church coming in at that time. We baptized him and his wife in Jesus' name, and he couldn't understand how in the world that he had missed this so long all down through the years. But God used him. It was a type of the church coming in right at that time. Brother Charlie, strangely enough, or coincidentally, was named after a Jesus name preacher. I found that out later. So you see, it wasn't as strange as it sounded. Now then, after this was when we come up here to Winder and right there at Russellville, where Senator Russell was later buried and all that connected in with it. And then we come to the little town of Bethlehem. After that, we come to the little town of Bethlehem. Well, it was there in that very year that we came to Bethlehem that they named all the streets Bible names. And even until this day, our mailing address is still right there at the manger scene that they have where all the gathering is that they put on postcards. The big star right there. And not only that, but right here on the corner of Star Street and the street called Manger Street. Right there. It's real, isn't it? It's hard to believe, but it's real. It's God. It's real. Right there on Manger Street. Manger, the corner of Manger and Star. The Bible said the wise men saw his star, and it was in the east when he saw it. That's what I'm talking about. The east.
Amen.
Now, strangely enough, this little town was magnified by some of the dignitaries. And some things has happened. And about the time Russell died, well, it was the television cameras were set up, and that place was just projected all around the world. All right, now then, this place where we're at, you could call it coincidental, but Brother Ernie, when he went to retrieve the truck after something happened to it in the Carolinas, drove it right back. Him and Lonnie and them, right back to Star Street. Parked it, right? Right exactly across from where we got the little old manger building there. Well, somebody said, that's really coincidental. Yes, I guess it is. But anyway, whether it's coincidental or the divine providence of God, that's where they parked it. We later went there. Now, then from this, the Bible said that they saw his star in the east. The babe was born in the manger. And from this, we started the baby farm. They came out here to the baby farm. And, of course, that had to do with what we said about this thing starting in the stable down yonder. But anyway, we come out here to the baby farm. Now then, there's a lot that can be said about that, but we've got those particulars also on tape, on another tape that has to do with this tent, the tabernacle, and these grounds, and Salem, and a lot of other things. But that brings us up to this point in kind of a continuity by skipping around a little bit here and a little bit there. Now the thought is this, we got here to Monroe, and another coincidence took place. It was the city of seven governors. The Bible speaks of the seven spirits of God and the pillars within his temple, the seven locks of Samson, and all these seven seals and everything. So we come to a city with seven governors. A little out-of-the-way place, a city of seven governors. Monroe. Hallelujah. I thought about what Benny said about the record that Brother Gerald's brother brought us. I know these are foolish things. The Bible teaches God reveals himself in simplicity, hides himself from the eyes of the wise and prudent, makes himself revelation unto babes such as will learn out of the foolish things to confound the wise. He brought that record down here, Bill Monroe, I Saw the Light. And Betty looked at it, and it's moved one little thing. He said, I saw the light in Monroe. So, well, it was another coincidence. So, strangely enough, we're out here on this baby farm here in Monroe, in the city of Seven Governors. And out here is where we picked up the tent from Brother Walden. Now, we was on the other side of 78 over in Memphis, on the other side of 78 over here, and we spoke of the crossing over 78 into the symbol of the Canaan land, and spoke of this little tent here that was predestined to go to the Jews, go to Palestine, but we intercepted it, and it's down here. All of it was just perfect. And then we picked up the tent that Brother Walden had, the same tent. We go way back over here to the Gateway of the West again. The same tent that I went to preach under, where I passed by Brother David Terrell's place, where his tent had gone down, where Brother Baldwin had picked it up. I was going to preach under the same tent in Canada at that time. So then it just branches way over and comes over here, and we pick it up. Then you remember we took it inside, and we've got some particulars on that, lifting up an inside to the people, and then going to Upson County. We spoke of the rapture and the whirlwind and the little eagle that John was in out there, how it didn't touch it. We spoke of these things now, Upson County, that symbolized the rapture when the tent was split or the veil was rent in twain, signifying that he had come back over here, ready to go back to the Jews, that the message was taken out of the veil, leave veil up there, that we had met Brother Bobby, and now he was taken out of the veil, was ready for the wedding. And when we sat at the little teepee, had an open-air meeting, Sister Nobby said, well, that's the same way they have a wedding in Mexico. We took the poles out of the big trailer. Brother Tommy came along with that torch, which was like a pillar of fire, and he cut it all off and fixed it up real good. And those poles coming out of that tent, to show you that God connects everything with everything, is the same poles that we're considering putting right here in the tabernacle to hold it up. The same ones. See everything connecting one with another. Connecting one with another. Not only that, but some of the poles that we got come from Gene Yoon's tent, which also had to do with this voice of healing thing that we're speaking of right here. Now, we've got some teachings on the voice of healing and on some tape here that connects with all of this. But see, it came out of the veil. The veil was rent too, and the picture that the Thomaston papers or the Upson County papers took of our tent, they caught it hanging on a tree. Steaming, smitten of God, hung upon a tree, and the veil was rent twain. I say, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pine? I believe that the veil of the carnal mind is finished. The intellectual PhDs and seminary teachers is gone. I heard a man over the radio today. He said he'd been on the radio for 33 years. He said, but looks like, said, I've just come off of 16 stations. No, I've just come off of 6 stations and fixing to come off of about 15 or 16 more, about 21 of them in all. He said he just couldn't understand. He was talking to another, said his mail had fell down the same way. Why? Because the message of repentance is over and gone. Reaching out, winning great multitudes is over and gone. God financed the campaign as long as he wanted it. But it's over and it's gone. And the intellectual side of religion is gone. God has at last rent the veil. Einstein's relativity theory, splitting the atoms, splitting the nucleus, going in and getting the power out of it, The intellectual veil of the carnal mind has come to its end. It's been rent. And this is what is inside, where is the holies of holies. And it indicated that the veil was rent, and we can now go into the mind of the Almighty God, which is the holies of holies. Go right into it. And that's exactly what we're doing. I said, well, I don't see it like that. Well, naturally, you wouldn't. The Bible says the wicked will never see life, but I'm speaking to them that see life. Now, this is translating power, whether you believe it or not, from glory to glory. Now then, coming to this point, what did it mean? It meant that Rebekah was taken out of the veil. We spoke of it where Isaac went down there and got his bride, a Gentile bride. You can trace out the lineage and you'll find she was. Brought her across the desert. We got some particulars on it. How that the camel that went down, the ten camels that went down there was a symbol of the ten commandments of God that went to get the bride, because Rebekah being veiled shows both Jew and bride. Went down there with the ten commandments, which was the ten camels. I wish I could get into the anointing of that one particular thing to show you what actually happened down there. This woman gave those camels plenty to drink. And into the jewelry, we go into the jewelry and some of the things that was given to him, what he had to do about that. And then Rebekah was brought back. When she was brought back in the evening time. And when she came back in the evening time, it was the hours of meditation, because Isaac, the son of Abraham, was meditating in the evening time. And that's what we're doing now, meditating in the laws of God day and night, the evening time meditation. He took Rebekah, he took her into his mother's tent, into the secret chambers, and there he unveiled her, and she became his wife. God has taken us into the secret chambers, which is the mysterious place of revelation, that he might unveil us by taking off the carnal mind of the veil, that we might see him face to face and he might see us face to face, unveiling our spiritual, that we might become his wife. That's exactly the difference. The ones that get unveiled is the ones that is the bride. That's the wife of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thy son shall marry thee as a man taking himself a wife. The unveiling. The great unveiling, that's what it symbolizes. Brother Walden's tent symbolized the end of the thing. And Brother Walden's sicknesses now, back to the Garden of Eden fight, has been on in all those things we highlighted, going to Canada, Canaan land, and then the veil being rent twain, because that's where we preached that, it was in Canada. And the veil being taken off because it's been a tent ministry. And in the tent of Moses, back here it was shown, it's been a tent ministry, and a tent represents a veil because the veil was rent in twain. It was taken off. The veil was taken off. And she became the wife. She became the wife because the veil was taken off. Now let's just get a few more things, and I'm going to try to close here. I don't mean to hold you so long. You just take a few more minutes, and then we'll close. Now just look at it from this angle just a few minutes. Now you see this in Rebekah, don't you? The camels being the Ten Commandments and the servant being a symbol of the Holy Ghost going down there that led the Ten Commandments. And together they brought the Jew and the bride back. All right, let's look at it from here just a minute and see if this is right. When this move first started, it started with Brother Branham. The angel of God appeared to Brother Branham. Now, we've got this highlighted on tape somewhere. I'll just run through this a little bit of it. It started with Brother William Branham. Is that right? The angel of God appeared to Brother Branham, gave him a gift to take to his people, just like he did Moses, and told him how he would feel it and recognize it in his hand. God burning this great Jesus name message, it was so bright, so brilliant, so outstanding, this great revelation, wanting the people to get it in part, he took it and he gave it to a man by the name of William Branham, because he was a symbol of Moses. He gave the law to Moses. All right, now, of course that wasn't all he gave to Moses. If you read Moses' writing, you'll find out it wasn't all. But anyway, he gave us to Brother Branham, And men started to follow in Brother Branham's ministry, and it wound up into a ministry called the Voice of Healing. Brother Branham went along with them until finally it looked like it was going to turn into a commercial thing, and Brother Branham withdrew from it. But it was born from his ministry through Gordon Lindsay. Now, what I'd like to say about this is, when this thing was born, Brother Oral Roberts, Brother T.L. Osmond, and all the other members connected with it. And you've heard me speak how that God took the revelation of a one God message and put it into a Trinitarian veil of religion by Brother Branham shaking hands with a man by the name of Oral Roberts. And that Oral Roberts had that hand that we spoke of that had been nailed to a tree stump by his brother Vaden. He said he felt the power of God in his right hand the same way Brother Branham felt the power of God. It went into the Trinitarian veil when he met Oral Roberts. God magnified it, lifted it up, and then when he was through with it, he let Oral Roberts go right over into the Methodist church to show that it had not been Oral Roberts, because Oral Roberts just took a stumble just as quick as the anointing began to lift from him. So then, the thing is, it stayed with Brother Roberts and stayed in the Trinitarian veil, and instead of Brother Branham being highlighted as the key note of this great voice of healing, Brother Roberts was. And Brother Roberts got all the fame and glory, and Brother Branham just pushed out of the picture. And this remained that way until God had thoroughly finished with Brother Roberts. And then he brought Brother Branham back. Brother Branham shook hands with Brother Roberts again. And Brother Roberts said, Billy said, if you'd stay off the women folk, he said, you'd have a greater ministry. Brother Branham shook hands with him and said, oil is not a thing in your hand. And that was it. He went into the Methodist church. The anointing passed through the veil. It come up in a voice of healing veil, started with Jesus Christ, the root and the offspring. That's right. God is the waters of life. They go through that root. It came to a man by the name of William Branham to give us a symbol. We got a seed. You got a root. So forth. Well, if God is the water and Jesus Christ is that seed from which that root springs, Brother Branham being a symbol of that body of Christ, then the trunk of this thing came up in a church line. That is a move of God. Then it sprang out into many branches, a family tree. Earl Roberts and T.L. Osmond, Billy Graham, and I don't know how many others. W.V. Grant. Now, because it was a springtime of resurrection, life was going. The water that comes into a tree picks up the elements from the ground with the water, goes up into the heart of the tree and distributes it through the limbs and the branches, and then as long as the heat is pulling, it causes the water to come up and vaporize through the pores of the little leaves, leaving the elements from the ground it picked up to feed the tree, go up into a cloud, and it comes right back down to the earth and does it all over again. That's the way it feeds it. Now, but when the fall comes, the sun doesn't heat the tree and the water isn't drawn up anymore because it won't vaporize. Therefore, the sap goes down, the sap goes back down here, and all of these branches die. And I made the statement, I said, they will die. I said, they will die. When Brother Branham was killed, I said, they will die. And they did die. Oral Roberts went into the Methodist church. Till Osmond let his hair grow out here. And A.A. Allen started drinking, and they died. Every one of them died. W.V. Grant left his steadfastness in God. It was obvious that he did it. They died. God breached it over with the brother David Terrell, because David had been Trinity in Jesus' name. It was kind of a breach over. And kind of dovetailing in with him and brother Walden over here. I spoke one time of these great men being Samson. It was bound in the denominational church, folding up their tents and going back to a denominational church to grind there until the springtime coming again, where their power or glory would begin to grow out and God would bring back the power of the church. That's why the hippies are letting their hair grow out, to show that the power of God is coming back to the church. Now, Samson is getting his locks back. I doesn't justify hippies. All right, now then, it went up into a springtime of resurrection, a family tree, but when Brother Branham died, it went back down. It died. Then it was to be breached over, which Brother David Terrell did. Then it was to spring up again and had connections up here with Rockdale. That was Brother Walden's old ministry going out. That's why he's been sick like he has, dying to death to show the old Mosaic side, the Mosaical side of it, going out with that tent that was rent over here, and then him getting that rock theater rapture. That's when you get films, that means rapture. Coming to the Rock Church in Rockdale County. This is the rockiest county in probably the whole world. It's got granite, hardest stone just about you can get. So coming to the theater, it showed the new move. And of course, Brother Jack Palmer come there to show Brother Branham's film. And then we went up yonder to get that deep call to the deep to show that resurrection about Brother Bobby Woodruff. And then our Brother Walden began to have W.V. Grant, Sam Todd, right on down the line, Marcirilla the Jew. We spoke of it to some of Brother Walden. We spoke of some of this to Brother Walden. We was in Revelation and said, Brother Walden, if you don't believe that this is right, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, your old tent went out, didn't it? He said, yes. I said, and you got a new tent, didn't you? He said, yes. I said, now then, but who was it that took the tent and held a revival in it in Canada, in it area? He said, Marcirilla. I said, well, what is Mars? He said, a Jew. I said, he went right back to the Jew, didn't he? And he didn't know what to say. All right, now, that's exactly what it was to do, to come to the Jesus-named people, the spiritual Jew. That's what it was to do. It's going to be a Jesus-name revival from here on out. You watch and see. It's been a Trinitarian revival, but it's going to be a Jesus-name revival. The last phase of it's going to be a Jesus-name revival. And I made the statement. I said, something great's going to happen to Jesus-name people. Isn't that right? And what happened about that time? So they started a revival all around the world. Isn't that right? All right, now then. That just happened a few weeks ago. All right, now then. Where are we right now? We're sitting down right in the midst of a Jesus-name people. All of you know this is Jesus-name country up in here. God set the revelation right down in the midst of a Jesus-name people. You say, but is it the same revelation that Brother Branham was teaching? Same one that Elijah taught. It's the same one. You go back and check it out. It'll run all the way from Revelation over to the coming of Jesus, the great white throne of judgment. So then, here's the voice of healing. It died. Now, this tree was to come up again when Brother Branham came back to life. And that's where people get mixed up. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was Jesus and Brother Branham. I showed the other night about the two sons of the Baptist wife and the Pentecostal, and how they followed Brother Branham through Billy Paul, and how that through Joseph, which was a symbol, how they followed the real spiritual inner man, followed the Joseph side of it, the message. So then what happened? Why? Tell me why did Brother Walden find favor with W.V. Grant? Why did he find favor with Marcirilla? Why did he find favor with Sam Todd? Because this was dead. It had to be resurrected, and God wanted it resurrected over here. They began to see something in that man. They was dead, and God was blessing Brother Walden. They seen an anointing there. They seen a blessing. And so they attached themselves to it. And what has been happening? Coming up here to the theater. Coming up there to preach. Then we picked up the tent. And then what happened? What happened? Brother Walden will tell you this out of his own mouth. He'll tell you this. God showed me that I was to buy that equipment. That Brother Walden was going to have to, after he showed me what he was doing, that we was to support Brother Walden. Brother Walden was to go down, down, down after we visited with him, right down to the bottom, and that he would have no life because that was the end of it, and that this was to be his life, and support him and nourish him back to what he was to be. Brother Walden said and told me, said, Brother Pike, this is the truth, so help me God. He said, you told me that, and he said, that's exactly what happened. He said, that's the only thing that saw us through. Said, otherwise, that would have been it. All it has to do with Bob's death, where we met Brother Walden. Alright, now then you say, what are you trying to say? I mean that it was breached over. It came over. Now, even in Olive Branch, Mississippi, I said it would come out of Brother Delmer's tent. And I said it would go into a certain building. I was kind of mocked about it. Because one man had been in one part of that building, the 1, 2, 3 to that building. A man had been in that building so long that they told me, he said, you'll never get him out there. I said, well, if the Lord wants him out, he'll go. Wasn't but a few days and he was out there auctioning his stuff off. Had to put a padlock or something on his door and was out there auctioning his stuff off, the big store. And we wound up with the whole building. Now, so then what I'm saying is this. It was to be breached over. There's about three phases of it. And one comes out in one thing like the Brother Walden. Another comes out like in the Carolinas. And another come out like over there in Olive Branch. All three of them was to stream into one and connect here in the last phase of it. Because Brother Branham's body had been divided into three parts. Was to come together just like it showed over here. The bodies of the mass humanity coming together. All in confederations. And it was come together. You say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean that the Trinitarian people, as well as the non-denominational people, and the Jesus name people are going to come together. Whether you believe it or not, they are. They're going to come together. In the Full Gospel Businessmen, where Brother Branham met that thing over there, signifying his dead body, signifying Jesus' dead body, where as it was all split up, Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian, they come together in the Full Gospel. Now you say, Brother Pike, you believe that God's going to save the Methodist, the Baptist, the Catholic? No, sir, I definitely do not. But I believe he's bringing them all together. Amen. In the Full Gospel Businessman's meeting that he might sift everything out that is Baptist, because you'll find them people shouting, speaking tongues, and what they highlight is the Full Gospel. I know there's a lot of heresy in there, but nevertheless, they highlight the Full Gospel and they're coming together as a unit. Now you say, what does that have to do with it? Well, when Betty and I preached out there at the Assemblies of God at under the tent there with David Nunn, and we preached there for the Full Gospel Businessmen and also there at the downtown cafe, he said, but how does this connect together with Brother Walden? All right. What did I say Brother Walden's cross was? All right, who's got your case, Brother Steve? Linwood Maddox. I said he'd be connected with us, didn't I? All right, now, why is that? Because Linwood has got such a reputation. He's here in Atlanta, Georgia, over this Full Gospel Businessman up there. See, and it's time for the Jesus name people to come in there. And that body of believers, which is called the Full Gospel Businessmen, that died with Brother Branham going out, they won't be resurrected until the life goes back in the veil, which is the Jesus name message. And when that gets in the Full Gospel Businessmen, they accept that, that will be it. Otherwise, every denomination will gather together against the Jesus name people, all the confederation. But before that, God's going to sit that Full Gospel Businessmen and all these others, and going to be a lot of Jesus name people that you didn't know was Jesus name. And then when they come together, the confederation of denominations will gather together to make them extinct, because it's the third dimensional type, just like it is the confederation of nations coming together against Jesus over in Jerusalem against the Jews. They'll come together against these spiritual Jews, and just at that time the Lord will come, just like he's coming right now, coming to be glorified in his saints. The mind of God will come and take the church, finish the work. When he finishes the work, then that will be it. It'll be the rapture. It'll be the rapture. And with the coming of that, it'll be the rapture. Just like it's going to do when they gather in around Jerusalem over here, and God's going to feed all the nations. Now, I'd like to stop here. I'd like to say this one thing. We're being changed from glory to glory. We come to this place, a rapture. This tree is to come up again. This family tree, when the spring comes, it comes back up and the life comes back into it. This is coming to the point of Christ picking up the dead body at Calvary that was laid in the grave. entering back into the body after the third day, picking it up and taking it to set the right hand of the Father, that the tribulation might continue on. And Brother Floyd's mother's death had to do with this. We brought out some things on that on tape. But anyway, this is a few fragments of what I'm trying to say, to tie things together in your mind to where you can understand a few of these things. Now, I say again, it's impossible for me to be able to teach the revelation the way I want to teach it without taking weeks and months. But this is some fragments that's tied together in a continuity to show you, to show to you, that what I've been trying to preach to you is not some wild guess. And anybody that would be foolish enough to say that all of this, that I thought of all of this, they'd be crazy. Now they say, well, you crazy, Brother Pratt. Well, all I got to say is if I'm crazy, then you're crazier than I am. If you think I've thought of all of this down through the years and put it together, then you're crazier than I am. That's right. Now, and in case you think that I did, well, you try it sometimes. Now, see, so, and another thing I've been trying to tell you, that it's not something I dreamed up, because why does every bit of it come together? It comes together year after year till it gets over here, even to the pole top of the tent, to go under the tabernacle out here. You understand what I'm saying, folks? All right, let's stand together. There was a little thought I wanted to bring out there, but I kind of lost it in the hustle and the bustle, but maybe the Lord will give it to you. Now, I appreciate you tonight, and I know you're cold because my feet is almost numb. I had to go against the grain tonight to be able to keep on. But I hope tonight that you can understand the things that we're trying to tell you, and see some of these things tied together to where they'll be beneficial to you.